Welcome to this week's podcast of Glimmers in the Fog. Our topic today is how to be flavorful for Jesus. I'm always amazed at how relevant the Bible is for today's culture, despite being written thousands of years ago. Just as we do today, chefs and wannabe cooks of the ancient world relied on herbs and spices to make recipes more flavorful. One in particular that was exceedingly useful was salt. In biblical times, salt was both a flavor and a preservative, making it the ideal analogy, both then and now, for Jesus to talk about the role of his followers in sharing God's love with everyone they encountered. Join me now as we explore how God calls us to be the salt of the earth. There are some foods that just don't taste good to me without salt. Take eggs, for example. I think I would consider foregoing them entirely if I had to eat them without a little salt and pepper. And popcorn without salt? Forget it. Even though this basic seasoning will enhance the flavor of so many dishes, I didn't realize how essential and versatile salt can be until recently. As an acid reflux sufferer, my husband decided he had had enough of his symptoms and wanted to experiment with some of dietary changes to see if he could effectively eliminate his problem without any medication. So everyone who's married knows what that means. We both had to change how we eat drastically. And because I'm overly fond of acid-triggering spices and herbs and just about everything I cook, suddenly I didn't know how to prepare any of my signature meals. I was like a fish out of water, flailing around on my kitchen countertops. Thankfully, however, there are a few acid-fearing chefs out there who have written cookbooks on the art of flavor for the heartburn weary. And as I fumbled my way through recipe after recipe, some of which completely flopped, I came to a newfound appreciation for the power of plain old salt. Fortunately, neither one of us battles high blood pressure, so instead of adding my usual chili powder to fajitas, I created a close facsimile of Mexican food by using only salt and cumin. Instead of adding tomatoes and cilantro to the avocado, we found it to be quite delicious with a pinch of sea salt and olive oil. And so it went, our culinary adventure into the brave new world of life without tomatoes, vinegar, citrus, and so much more. Fast forward several months later, and my hubby is enjoying life without chronic acid symptoms for the first time in many years. For him, the reward has far exceeded the effort required, and his esophagus is probably much healthier as well. But our persistence in this new diet has taught me so much more than a few eating and cooking habits. It's really highlighted the value of sacrifice for the sake of serving others. Salt has become so much more than an essential seasoning. It has become symbolic of spiritual and emotional flavoring, making my walk with God more robust and helping me experience a more distinctive understanding of sacrificial love. Just as salt makes many a bland recipe more palatable, allowing the Holy Spirit to season our speech, attitudes, and endurance will make everyone more effective for Jesus and with each other. Jesus encouraged his followers to be like salt in several of the Gospels, but I particularly like the way Mark put it, "Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another." Mark chapter 9, verse 50. Ever the master of brevity, Mark's wording implies both a state of being and a command requiring action. This duality echoes the longer version of Jesus' words in Matthew 5:13. "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet." Both of the passages make it clear, if you truly believe in Jesus, you will be different. You will stand out. But in order to make a difference, in order to be valuable for kingdom work, you must take action and practice the art of being salt or flavoring in a world desperately wanting to taste real nourishment and find soul-satisfying truth. But how does that play out in real life? How does our satisfaction with Jesus help other people? How can our daily yielding to the Holy Spirit be experienced by others? I am sure there are more, but the Holy Spirit reminds me frequently of these four flavor-enhancing examples. First, season our speech with grace to bring out the best in others through conversation. Colossians 4, 5 through 7 says, "Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person." When we engage others with an extra measure of grace, listen more than we speak, and show genuine interest in their lives, we give the Holy Spirit more time and space to work in our relationships. Every interaction is an opportunity to help someone else draw one step closer to God. Stand out in a spiritually flavorless and malnourished world. Ephesians 5, 8 through 9 says, "For at one time you were in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true." John Piper said, "To be the salt of the earth and the light of the world means that at root, Christians are so profoundly satisfied by Christ as our eternal reward that we are freed from fear and greed for the sacrifices of love and are able to rejoice at persecution. When the world sees this, they see the glory of Christ and taste the satisfying pleasure of who he is." Third, sprinkle alluring bits of joy on parched hearts. John 15:11 says, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and your joy may be full." Another translation says that our joy in Christ will be like a river overflowing its banks. In my personal experience, real infectious joy isn't possible until I've learned to trust God. Once I completely trust God in a specific area, then I am positioned to receive his peace over it. With peace in our hearts, I am less stressed and worried, opening the door for joy to supernaturally bubble up in any situation. When others experience this entirely otherworldly joy, they will want to experience it for themselves. Fourth, be a tasty reflection of what's to come. Colossians 3:2 says, "Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth." Living in a world that bombards us daily with scary news, crazy weather events, and unfair tragedies is enough to make even the most positive individual fearful, depressed, and frustrated. When we live like this world is not our home, people want to know why. And when they catch a glimpse of what heaven-minded living looks like, they are amazed. C.S. Lewis said, "The Christians who did most for the present world were just those who thought most of the next." Like with any other flavoring, there is always the risk of oversalting a recipe and rendering any food inedible. But the secret to a great outcome every time is allowing the Holy Spirit to guide your attitude, words, and actions. Even though we are far from perfect, Jesus makes up for our weaknesses, lack of skill, low appeal, and mistakes in the kitchen of life. Regardless of our inexperience or lack of creativity, if we stay faithful to the recipe he's set forth in the Word, somehow, in the end, Romans 8:28 assures us that he works everything together for the good. John Stott, the great theologian, once said, "The truth is powerful when it's argued, but it's more powerful when it's exhibited." When we get up each day willing to be a simple vessel in which the Holy Spirit can deposit flavorful truth and joyful refreshment, everyone we encounter will see Jesus on display. And that vision is far more appetizing than anything we can dish up on our own. Thanks for listening to today's podcast of Glimmers in the Fog, which is based on the blog of the same name. If today's podcast has left you hungry, no pun intended, for more things of God, I strongly encourage you to visit the blog and look at the bottom of today's post for some additional questions on reflection and resources. Thanks again for listening. You are so appreciated more than you know. And if today's podcast touched you in some way, I encourage you to pray about it and ask God who he might lay on your heart to share it with. Doing so will be just one more way you can be salt today.